We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, incredibly, it happened again. A Gonzaga player with the initials JS stands on the logo, nails a shot, and the Bruins go home. This is Josh Lewin. What an incredible, heartbreaking way for the season to end. It ends at 31-6, and it'll be obviously a situation where forever we'll hear the echoes of what if. What if Adem Bona had played against Gonzaga? What if Jalen Clark had been healthy? UCLA, probably the best team in the nation, pound for pound. We saw that. But it ends in the Sweet 16 with a gut punch loss to Gonzaga yet again. Lots to talk about, lots to get through. Let's not forget what this team accomplished, and who knows who's gone and who's coming back going forward. Everyone assuming that we've seen the last of Jaime Hawkins Jr. He'll go off to the NBA, top 10 all-time in Bruins scoring, and number 11 in rebounds as well. Tiger Campbell played such a brilliant first half. Would love to have his second half back, I'm sure, in this one against Gonzaga. Nothing takes away from what a competitor, what a wonderful player Tiger Campbell is. David Singleton, on and on we could go with players that you just fell in love with this year. Let's get you back to Vegas, where it all came to an end as the Bruins end up losing 4 of their 6 games in that town this year. They were only a 2-loss team if they just could have stayed out of Vegas. But anyway, here's what Tracy Murray and I were talking about once things had settled down.
Well, Amari Bailey was in position to go into the UCLA history books as one of the great clutch shooters of all time. He nailed a three-pointer to give the Bruins a one-point lead with 12 seconds left. But then Julian Strother raced down court, hit a three of his own. Bruins failed to answer, and it's Gonzaga moving on. 79-76, they break the Bruins' heart yet again. Josh Lewin, Tracy Murray with you. Jaime Hawkins probably ending his college career tonight, tied a career high with 29 points. He was pretty much all their offense down the stretch as the Bruins hit an amazing 11.5-minute in length pothole where they could not get a basket no matter what they did. They were missing threes. They were missing layups. Everything was missing for not 7 minutes, not 8, 11.5 minutes. and it allowed Gonzaga to come back, take a pretty convincing lead, Tracy. They were actually up by 10, having trailed by 13. The Bruins were down 10 with 2.5 to play. They were down 8 with 1:40 to play. Yet they took the lead, and it looked like this could be an all-timer. They just couldn't stick the landing.
This reminds me of the Arizona game in Tucson, where you tried to get back in it in the last 2 minutes, and you came up short. You can't try to steal the game at the end like that and think that you're going to win all the time. That it bit them in the behind today.
It will obviously be, and this is not an excuse, but it will be just a complete litany of what-ifs for Bruin fans. What if Jalen Clark hadn't gotten hurt? What if Adem Bona could have played even a little tonight? That might be the biggest disappointment, that Adem Bona couldn't even get in for a few minutes tonight. And obviously, he must have been really hurt for that to be the case. If you had just a little bit more size to go against Drew Timmy. Drew Timmy scored 36 in this game.
And it was an easy 36. It wasn't like he struggled to get it. It was easy.
Gonzaga and UConn now will be the Elite Eight. It looked like the Bruins and UConn would be the Elite Eight, and that would have been an exact replica of how the Bruins got it done in 1995. Go and play somewhere in the Pacific time zone in the Elite Eight against UConn. That was a Bailey taking over that game. That was Toby Bailey. And we thought maybe Amari Bailey would be that guy this time. It'll never have the chance, unfortunately. The Bruins, for a second straight year, peter out in heartbreak in the Sweet 16. It was in Philly last year against the Blue Blood. That was North Carolina. This time it is in Vegas against a newly rising Blue Blood. Used to be Cinderella, right? I mean, you know, back in 1999, that was Gus Johnson's call. The slipper still fits when they took down Florida. They're no Cinderella anymore. They have been to an Elite Eight in 5 of the last 10 years now as Gonzaga. So the Bruins, with all kinds of chances in the second half, and again, Trace, as we talk about, it's not like UCLA needed to play a great second half, a perfect second half. They had a 13-point lead going into that second half. All they had to do was play, as I said, about a C to C-minus second half. They just couldn't have a D-minus second half. But unfortunately, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, the second half wasn't too good. Sorry about that.
No, you're catching
saliva, your... little saliva went down the wrong pipe.
Catch your breath, buddy. I got you. And by the way, what we're probably going to hear not from Mick Cronin, but from Darren Savino. Mick is, I'm sure, hugging it out with his team right now. He's going to have to go to the podium and talk to the national media. So we want to have time, unfortunately, to wait on Mick. It could be a good half an hour from now before he's free. We do anticipate Darren Savino coming out to talk about what went right and wrong. So much went right in that first half, Tracy, as the Bruins just raced out to a 46-33 lead. All the shots were going in. Tiger Campbell, who had the 2-for-16 in Sacramento, was 5-for-9 in the first half here tonight. I mean, he was looking great, but suddenly the well just dried up for Tiger in the second half. He failed to hit a shot. He hadn't turned the ball over the entire game, but then with 1.1 on the clock, that's when he turned it over for the first time.
Well, I mean, everybody was loose in the first half. The second half just seemed like the beginning of it, everybody was tense. When you're tense, you don't make shots. You got to be relaxed. I didn't see a relaxed Bruin out there until they were behind by 10 and they had to fight to get back.
Bruins missed 5 layups and a dunk, as it turned out, in this game. And those 5 misses were in the second half in terms of the layups. So a lot of things that conspired against the Bruins. It's a shame. I mean, and here's where we start to get very, very sad. Jaquez went out like a warrior. At 29 points to get ahead of my partner on the all-time scoring list. He's now top 10. 29 points tonight, 11 rebounds. Boy, was he fighting out there. He was 12 for 25. Tiger ended up with 14 points, but again, only 1 point in the second half. Amari Bailey, 19 points, including the 3 that could have made him king. David Singleton had 8 points, but it wasn't his greatest effort either. I don't know if that ankle was completely healthy or not for him. The Bruins bench really did nothing. He had a 3 from Dylan Andrews, but that's about it. Will McClendon, normally a defensive stopper, was a minus 8 in 4 minutes. He had played so well on this court defensively against Arizona, but that didn't really happen tonight.
Right. It just seemed like when he went out on the court, there wasn't any good things that happened. Still trying to shoot threes, and he hasn't proven that he can knock them down yet. This is not the time. you got to know that you're open for a reason. I was always told that when you're open out there and you shoot the shot and you're not a shooter, you're open for a reason. Don't be the other team's, teammate, basically. You got to be disciplined enough not to take that shot.
Meantime, Julian Strother, the guy that ended up being the hero for Gonzaga, he played 38 minutes. He had been 4 of 14 before he let it fly. And how about that? A guy that was 4 of 14 and it had just missed a three their last trip down. They ran a play for him to be the hero. 7 seconds to go, and he hit that shot. It forced the Bruins out of timeouts to get the ball quickly down court. And when Tiger Campbell lost it, that's when the game was pretty much over. And we got to mention one other Gonzaga player, Malachi Smith.
Yep.
Right? 14 points off the bench. He was a plus 13 in this game. That by far was best for Gonzaga. Actually, Hunter Salas, the other guy off the bench for them, he was pretty close to that. That might be the one tactical thing that we can point to for Gonzaga. They played a lot of Smith and Salas in the second half. A little bit better defense. And the Bruins, again, just iced over. I mean, when you go 11 and a half minutes without a field goal, maybe that's Smith and Salas a little, but I think mostly that's you just not hitting shots.
Well, you look at Smith and Salas. Smith was a plus 13. Salas was a plus 12. When those guys came in, their defense was better. When those guys came in, they crashed the boards harder. I mean, those guys were the Energizer Bunny battery in the back of Gonzaga.
36 points for Drew Timmy. He had 19 in the first half and 17 in the second half. I mean, we knew he was going to get a bunch of points tonight. We were just hoping it wouldn't be 36.
Right. Well, I mean, what was working the first half was letting him get his. The second half, everybody else got involved. And Gonzaga knew at halftime, we got to get everybody else involved or else we're not going to win this basketball game.
That is some kind of way to pay the Bruins back, right, for what happened 17 years ago to the date. A couple of years ago, it was Suggs. This time, it is Strother. Both guys hit a shot with at least one sneaker on the logo. This one was much closer than Suggs' bank shot, the miracle shot to beat the Johnny Juzang Bruins of a couple of years ago. But I'm going to call that one about a 29-footer, maybe, at the top of the key and beyond. And it went right in. The Bruins, the difference this time, had a chance to answer. They just could not do it.
We were able to catch up with Darren Savino, Mick Cronin's right-hand man, right after the game. You'll hear that interview in just a moment. Want to take a moment, though, first to thank our two great sponsors this year, and hopefully they'll be back for many years to come. First of all, Guerrilla Marketing, and those guys have been there for the Bruins in so many ways, but thank you so much, Guerrilla Marketing, a pleasure to work with, and they'd love to help you out as well. If you're someone, and obviously you are, if you're listening to this podcast, it just bleeds blue and gold, so do they. So when you're looking for a company that can help you turn around any marketing effort your company needs, anything your family might be doing, just to printing up some t-shirts and things like that, brochures that you need done, they can do it if you're a party of one or a party of 100. And they are at guerrillamarketing.net. We sure hope you'll give them some love. And we always love talking about Uncle Artie Pernia, too. One of the great guys that just puts himself out there and has sponsored the coaches' interviews all year here. Please do get in touch with Uncle Artie because he really does care about the community, not just the UCLA community, but all of the Southland, really. And plglaw.com is how to get in touch. Ask for Uncle Artie Pernia, one of the great Bruin fans out there. So, one of the great coaching jobs this year, obviously turned in by Mick Cronin and his assistant, Darren Savino, right there by his side all the way. He was with us after the game.
In a game that just defies description, and I'm very curious, Darren. First of all, I'm so sorry, but also so proud of how you guys battled tonight. I mean, no Clark, no Bona. You guys never gave up, had a chance at the end to win it. What was the message in the locker room at the end?
Well, there's no excuses and there's no moral victories when you have a chance to go to Elite Eight and you play your heart out. You know, it's a sad moment, of course, but, you know, we're not into excuses and blaming, you know, this and that. So we had our chance. I felt like it's my fault. I didn't do a better job out of that timeout, letting Dylan know that Strother was probably going to get it and shoot it. And, you know, but so many things happened before that. But that last play, we had the game won. So
If you was to pinpoint a couple of things, what do you think went wrong after halftime?
Rebounding. They killed us. I mean, I've been with Mick for a long time. I don't know if we've ever been out-rebounded by that many. Mm-hmm. They just threw us out of the way, pushed us under the basket. And, I mean, what did they have, 16 for the game? And I think they might have had two at halftime.
Right.
So that was a killer. And we went in a stretch on offense where we were wide open. We missed a plethora of shots when we had the lead, and they kept coming back. And you could see it on our faces. We went from up 10, I think, to down at some point 10, 11.
Things that you just didn't – I mean, we were talking about it, Coach, that, you know, I mean, a six-minute scoring drought, seven-minute scoring droughts, those happen. We've seen those before. 11.5 minutes is a long drought against a team like Gonzaga, which you know is going to be scoring at the other end. So, Tiger played such a wonderful first half, and obviously a big part of why the Bruins are who they are and where they are is Tiger Campbell. We just felt so sad for him as he comes down court. I mean, he had a 9-assist, no turnover game, right? I mean, that's the guy you want with the ball in your hands, looking for that last-minute miracle, last-second miracle. What was the feeling? Just take me through those last 12 seconds. Obviously, Strother gets open, hits a nice shot. Just kind of take us through those last 12.
It's a defensive breakdown that we don't do. We don't let the best player, you know, obviously Timmy's the best player, but the best perimeter shooter in that situation, shoot the three. You got to make him dribble it into a pull-up or to the basket. You don't let him shoot the three, and we did. And so, you know, from there, I mean, obviously we ran a play that we work on every day, home run. We threw it to Kenny. Kenny threw it to Tiger. It was good execution. Just didn't go in.
And you know, I thought Malachi Smith, the guy who got that steal, I thought he was a bit of a game changer. He came in and played that defense that he did. He, you know, you look up and all of a sudden he's got 14 points. We were talking at the half, if it's just Timmy and nobody else, I think you guys are going to be okay. If it's Timmy plus a few other guys, yeah. you can't sustain
that. They got
that.
Too good of an offensive team. They don't just go Timmy the whole season. They got a plethora of guys that can score. And he bullied us to the basket and got in the paint and scored, you know, four or five times at point-blank range off the dribble, which, you know, is unacceptable too. So, yeah, he did a good job, and he's a good defensive player. They play him and Salas, number five, because they're their best perimeter defenders. And so they played a lot this game. We didn't – one time I think Dave was guarding Salas, number five. The game plan was him. He's non-shooter. You got to gap off of him and be a helper. One time Dave in the second half took a charge. But other than that, I didn't think we did a great job of really kind of gapping off of him and helping the other guys out.
Yeah, I just – you guys have a lot of heart, Coach. A lot of tough guys in that locker room. I hate to see it go like this. I'm just lost for words right now.
Well, let me ask you one more, Coach, because I know it's no fun just to sit around and rehash it all. But Jaime Jaquez Jr., if this was it, which we expected to be, 29 points, 11 rebounds, and it's one of the very few times we've seen him with four fouls, right? So, I mean, there was a lot of checkerboarding, getting him in, out, in, out. Can you just talk to me about Jaime for a second?
Well, especially at the end, you know, in the beginning stretches in the first half, he was excellent. He was great. And then had some big time plays late in the game. They were kind of playing like almost prevent defense, you know, when they had a lead and they were just trying to hang on. And we kept driving the ball at him. And Jaime was great there finishing, getting us back. It's almost like it didn't happen. We were down 10 with two plus minutes to go and had the lead. All I could think about is having the lead and then giving up that shot, which is just a heartbreaker. So, but yeah, Jaime's he's one of the great Bruins, right? I mean, one of the greatest players that I've ever coached, you know, four-year player. Unbelievable.
How did you feel about Amari Bailey's performance?
Great.
Tonight?
Yeah, just last seven games, Tracy, eight games, been tremendous, giving us a third score, legit score. Had a great, really good first half as well. And defensively really grew as the season went on. You know, really, you know, losing Jalen, right, one of the best defensive players in the country, we did it by committee. And Amari was a big part of our defensive resurgence. Without him and then obviously, you know, Adem, you know, not playing tonight and kind of banged up. Other guys have stepped up. But tonight was the backboard. Mm-hmm. You're not going to shut that team down. If we would have been able to get some more rebounds, I think that would have been a big difference. That was a killer.
Well, look, 31-6 is still a
pretty good year. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious that we don't love hashing this out that it ends this way, Darren. But to you, to all the coaches, Nick obviously included, you guys did an unreal job this year. The kids fought so hard, and I hope people will remember this season as a success. I know without a banner, I get it. It's UCLA, I know. But 31-6 is tremendous. You guys just fought tonight. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for recognizing it, and I appreciate all the support, and the guys really appreciate it as well.
Well, we love you guys. We really do. Sorry we're not meeting on better terms here. Thanks to Darren Savino, who we'll see on down the road. Tracy and I will be back to wrap it up after a lot more to discuss, but frankly, we're too sad and furious right now to keep on talking for a lot.
Well, I mean, when you think of the ending, you think of all the guys that are not coming back, you know, and then it hits you. You hate to see guys go out like this, especially guys that have been here, been through a Final Four run, and it ends right here. But you have to give them credit, and they displayed a lot of heart and toughness. They've been one man drops, another man step up for a while now since Jalen Clark went down. And, you know, you can't keep doing that and think you're going to keep advancing. It's just tough to keep going down and then somebody else have to step up.
Well, here's the thing. With 12 seconds left, when Bailey hit his three, and it was 76-75 UCLA, coming from down 10 with 2 minutes to go, I'm thinking, okay, Bruins will play their lockdown defense, and they're going to win this game 76-75 or either 78-75 with a couple of free throws. Then we changed our minds because Strother hit that open three, made it 78-76 Gonzaga, but there were still 6-plus seconds on the clock. And as Darren Savino said, they've got a play that they run and practice all the time. Get it out to Bona or Nuba at midcourt, shuttle it over on the wing to Tiger Campbell. Tiger's either going to zigzag in and score, and if he doesn't, you've got Hawkins there for the putback. So in my mind, I was rehearsing, okay, it's either Tiger tying it up and we're going to overtime, or Hawkins tipping it home and maybe even getting fouled and hitting that free throw with a second on the clock, just like we had all envisioned. Like maybe he goes, you know, maybe he does all that. But in a blink, Malachi Smith took the ball away from Tiger Campbell, and there went that.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger was just trying to make something happen. The damage was already done. There's, you know, now you're trying to grasp for straws after that shot went through. That was the dagger. That was the one that laid you down. And just like they said, you can't lose the best shooter on the floor for the other team, or else it kills you later on.
The Bruins missed 11 shots in a row over 11 and a half minutes. Then they made four in a row. They got three layups from Hawkins and that killer three from Bailey. So after an 0 for 11, they were 4 for 4. And let's not forget, by the way, at the horn, Tiger Campbell from about midcourt barely missed. I mean, I know it out of the hand, you knew it was off, but when you watch it on TV, I'm sure you'll see that ball's going to hit the side of the rim just off to the left. Wasn't that far off from forcing overtime from midcourt. Just an incredible finish.
The chances for those going in, though, Josh, it's luck.
Right.
Suggs shot against the Bruins back in the Final Four, luck. It just happened to go. Those shots, when you're going off of one leg and you're shooting it up there, those are... you're praying that it goes in.
Well, I'm just recapping this now, looking at the score sheet before we send it back to Dave. I just now realized Drew Timmy didn't have a point after 5.5 minutes on the clock. The last 5.5 minutes, he did not score. The last three buckets that went down for Gonzaga were three-pointers. They had one from Strother. They had one from Smith. That's the one that made it 72-62.
Yep.
Then the Bruins came back. They took the lead. But then it was Strother again. Gonzaga, which was living on two-pointers all game, didn't have a two-pointer in the last 5.5 minutes. But those couple of threes ended up being the difference.
Those couple of threes ended up being the difference. But if you look, they're 6 of 16 from three. That's right there at their average.
Mm-hmm.
That's 37.5%. That's right there at 38. So they shot the ball like they normally do from three.
Bruins were actually a bit better than they usually are. They were 7 out of 18 from 3 in this one. But you guys talked about it, the difference, the rebounds. And had Clark been there or Bona, give me one of the two, you don't get out-rebounded 50-26. And in the second half, an astonishing 34-11. I mean, it's amazing they only lost by three, but when you put it that way. So 79-76 is the way the season ends. Gonzaga moves on to play UConn.
So now you try to look forward instead of backward, and the Bruins coming up just short of where they wanted to be. The last seven times the Bruins have played in that arena in Vegas, they've left the city unhappy, losing either the Pac-12 tournament or a regular season game and tournament. Every time it's Gonzaga or Arizona now, which, remember, has the tentacles there. Tommy Lloyd is their coach, was a longtime assistant at Gonzaga. It just seems like if you're playing Arizona or Gonzaga in Vegas, there's just a haunting thing about that. But look, this thing will get to where there's a banner again. There's no question that the Bruins are on that tack. It felt like it was going to happen this year. They were so close to making it happen this year. They'll forever rue that 11-plus minute drought. They'll forever rue not being able to take care of Drew Timmy a little better. It's pretty remarkable that the bigs in that Gonzaga game had 20 defensive rebounds. The Bruins' bigs had zero. That's kind of amazing to go 40 minutes and have zero defensive rebounds from your centers. But again, I know we're not supposed to go with what-ifs, but a Jalen Clark and a Dem Bona, one of those two guys would have made all the difference. But we'll look forward, like I say. And just very quickly, thank you guys so much for being part of this all year. I'm looking forward to next season. I sure hope you are too. Four is up. I know this one really hurt, but keep the faith. And congratulations for a wonderful season. Mick Cronin, the coaching staff, everybody involved, certainly the players who made us all so happy this year with a 31-win, 6-loss season. This is Josh Lewin. Take care. Four's up.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.